Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 869 in Isleta Pueblo, I'm Tara Gatewood. Super Indian is back to fighting crime on the res. In The New Adventures of Super Indian, a hilarious audio play by Native Voices at the Autry. In this hour, we'll talk with Aragon Starr and some of the makers of this play to hear about taking this venture back to the roots of radio theater. Join us right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes are integrating a new reporting website into their protocols when someone goes missing. Yellowstone Public Radio's Caitlin Nicholas has more.
Sean Dillon is one of the primary designers of the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Montana reporting website. Dillon says the site isn't intended to do the job of law enforcement. Instead, the website and a coordinator act as a community liaison, guiding families through the steps they need to take to immediately report missing persons cases to the relevant law enforcement agencies.
What we're trying to do is just facilitate that, make it easier for people that aren't exactly sure what to do.
Blackfeet Community College launched MMIPMT.com in collaboration with Montana's Department of Justice last fall. Blackfeet Nation piloted the site, ushering 5 cases through the reporting process, and the portal is now available to CSKT as well. Kimberly Loring says this assistance is crucial and could have made all the difference when her sister, Ashley Heavy Runner Loring, went missing.
She went missing in June 2017 on the Blackfeet Reservation. When she went missing, there was a gap of when she was reported missing because we had that trust thinking that she was going to be okay.
Blackfeet Community College also hired Sky Gillum, a forensic anthropologist and professor at BCC, to spend the summer going through statewide missing persons cold cases.
I know these unsolved cases haunt our Native communities, and their loved ones desperately deserve closure and justice. I have at this point compiled the case information and data from our database. The next step will be then to reach out to associated law enforcement agencies to gather case files and pertinent information.
The coalition working on MMIPMT.com says the goal is to have every tribal nation in the state formally participating by the end of the summer. The funding for the reporting website and unsolved case database, along with a task force addressing Montana's disproportionate rates of missing Indigenous people, was created by the 2019 state legislature and extended earlier this year. In Montana, for National Native News, I'm Caitlin Nicholas.
3 Dillingham, Alaska students want to change a creek and road name marked by a derogatory term. KDLG's Tyler Thompson reports.
Alora Wassily, Trista Wassily, and Harmony Larson were learning about the history of colonization in social studies class. They visited with the Chugyung tribe and learned the story of the 7 sisters. Here's Alora Wassily.
They landed by Squaw Creek and they were looking for a white husband and to have kids and stuff. And then there's also white men looking for a Native wife. So squaw usually meant young woman or female anatomy. Then when white settlers came, it became a derogatory word towards Native women.
The 7 sisters traveled to Dillingham from Nushagak Point, a fishing village to the south. The sisters settled there and lived between Squaw Creek and Lake Road. After that visit with the tribe, the girls told their teacher that they wanted to change the name. The students want the name changed to 7 Sisters Creek to reflect the community's connection to the sisters. Speaking first is Alora, followed by Trista and Harmony.
Descendants of the 7 sisters through adoption and
marriage.
And marriage and stuff
and
like that.
Harmony
and we're all.
And Alora, we were sisters 5 generations ago.
Yep.
The students said they spoke with Elder Dora Andrew Erke about Yupik names for the creek. At the end of the presentation, Robin Cheney shared how the adults helped the students put this project together and asked them to consider traditional decision-making, not just what's best for now, but what's best for future generations.
Some of us are also 7 generations from those 7 sisters, which is significant to us in our traditional decision-making.
Their next step will be to meet with the city. In Dillingham, I'm Tyler Thompson.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
This reminder to get your COVID-19 vaccination is provided by the Association of American Indian Physicians and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, who support this show. Info at aaip.org or cdc.gov/coronavirus. Support by BNSF Railway, proudly supporting the nation's economy by moving the goods that feed, supply, and power communities across the country. More at bnsf.com/tribal relations.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, joining you live from my homelands, Ashirwitdui. Arrogant Star, dreamt up Super Indian in 2006 and developed a short radio play, a story that really exploded. And then years later, Super Indian and surrounding characters became fodder for a couple of graphic novels, which are well known in the Native comic book scene. Now, Aragon is returning with New Adventures of Super Indian as a streaming podcast.
It's Super Indian!
The story follows a native boy, Hubert Logan, who gains superpowers by eating tainted commodity cheese.
The Leaning Oak Reservation is surrounded by mountains. We have terrible cell phone service here, even though we're next to the 5G for days town of Spendy Oaks. My family came up with a way to alert me if there's trouble brewing on the reservation. Uncle Chester calls me on the number connected to an old bank of payphones in the back of the bingo hall.
Hubert, there's trouble at the tribal offices.
What's the situation, Uncle Chester?
Well, your dad called me on the air to say there was a moving truck at the tribal offices, and I might have said on the broadcast that Chief Yellowshirt was stepping down, and, well, now there's an unruly crowd over there demanding his resignation.
Whoa, slow down, Uncle. Moving truck at the tribal offices. Got it. Super Indian will be there. Yeah, is my super suit still in my locker? Shoot, I was going to polish my silver belt buckle and hem that seam and... Man, I gotta stop braiding my hair sometimes.
And the three-part hilarious radio play was produced by Native Voices at the Autry and includes a slew of Native talent. And we'll get to hear more about the production and about the new adventures today. And today we're going to start off in Okmulgee, Oklahoma. On the line with us today is Arrogant Star, and she is a writer, director, and actor. And she is from the Kickapoo Tribe of Oklahoma. She's also Muscogee Creek. Thank you for joining us for another Native America Calling, Aragon.
I am so thrilled to be on the show again. Hinch Jays, Dejotties, and Tania Pichia Yeni, all my Kickapoo fans and friends and family. I am thrilled about Super Indian. I can hardly contain myself.
Well, you know, when you get that way, seems like great things happen. And Aragon, Super Indian has a really interesting story of its own, and one that's kind of connected to these Native airwaves. And Aragon, just give us a little bit of background of where this all started and how it evolved.
Well, back in 2006, there was an initiative for Native people to be more involved in radio production, but also in the creation of audio theater, which that's this whole other genre. And it is out there. You hear it in podcasts. You hear it over the airwaves. You hear it on Audible. It's that kind of stuff where people create a movie for your ears. And I thought that this is great. How fun is that? I used to make, you know, little cassette tapes when I was a kid and, you know, write my own stories and create my own characters. And I thought, this is a natural extension of that I did when I was a child. So going to this thing at the National Audio Theater Festivals in 2006, there were other radio professionals that were there. There were three scripts that were done and broadcast live on National Public Radio. I mean, what a thrill! And to tell a Native superhero story, which is something I've been wanting to do forever. So that led to a full production at Native Voices of the Autry in 2007, where we did 10 different episodes. They were 5 minutes apiece, but it really built the world of Super Indian. And that just, I mean, I just feel so blessed to be able to go back and recapture things I used to hear about from my parents, which were, you know, the Shadow Nose and stuff that they would listen to the radio to get their entertainment, and they'd have to use the brain to really, you know, they'd work that muscle and create the stories in their head. So I thought, wow, this is great. What, how fun. And from there, the show went on to, you know, kind of a limbo, which is, I wish I could say. And then we went on and won a Tony or something. Well, we didn't do that. I went on and took the stories that I had from those radio scripts and turned them into comics because I can draw. So that was a natural progression. And now, because of the pandemic, because of COVID, and I know Delana will tell you more about this, it was kind of decided that, you know, people are Zoomed out, and they didn't want to see another play on Zoom. So this is how Super Indian came back to Native Voices at the Autry.
Wow. You know, it is really exciting. And I like the way you say that, a movie for your ears, because there's a lot going on. We gave them a little tidbit there in the beginning. We're going to give them more. Let's go ahead and add another voice to this. Joining us out from the Cherokee Nation in Oklahoma is Delana Studi. She is the Artistic Director of Native Voices at the Autry, and she's an enrolled citizen of the Cherokee Nation. Welcome to Native America Calling, Delana.
Wado, thank you so much for having me on here today. I'm so excited. As you can tell, Super Indian has been a heart project for us at the Autry for a very long time, so to bring it back, it's just been exciting. And also, Aragon is fantastic, and I've always been a big fan of hers, so thank you.
Yeah, let's fangirl her up, because really, this kind of story puts Natives straight up as the hero. And Delana, you know a lot about theater, also, you know, what goes on in Hollywood and the way films are made. And what about this? A Native hero. Anything you want to say about that?
Well, growing up, I didn't have one. I always wanted to have a Native superhero as a small child. And so it was something I was always looking for. So when Aragon created this, and back in 2007, I got to play a role in it, I was so excited. It was as if my childhood dreams have come true. In fact, that's still one of my dreams, is I still wanted to see more Native superheroes on screen and on film and also on stage. So this is a step in the right direction. And I also love the fact that it's a contemporary telling of a Native story. It doesn't take place in the past, so it shows us as a thriving people, which is what we are. So I'm very excited about this. And like I said, it's a childhood dream come true. And I never thought I would be able to say that I'm working on a project about Native superheroes.
Exactly. And Delana, tell me a little bit about bringing this on board with Native Voices at the Autry. Anything you want to share?
Of course. Well, Native Voices at the Autry, I honestly became the artistic director 2 weeks before everything shut down. So I have not really been in my office at the Autry. So we've been working remotely. And as soon as we started working remotely, I came back home to my family in Oklahoma to take care of them and to be with them. And that was the first time my parents had internet. And that was something that was just mind-blowing to me. I didn't really think about it as I was living in California, but when I came home, I realized my parents don't even know what Netflix is. So we got internet. And then Cherokee Nation released this incentive to help pay for people's internet, especially our children that are going to virtual school, so we can protect our elders. And that's when I came to mind. I was like, we should do something that is accessible online. We should do something that can go out to our Native communities that didn't have this access before. And we should do something fun and enlightening. I feel that humor has always been the basis of our resilience. I think that's how we survive so many tragedies, is because we have a great sense of humor, and no one ever talks about the Native sense of humor. So I started courting Aragon back in June or July. I was just reaching out via email and saying, hey, how is that third volume of Super Indian coming along? And I basically fangirled her and stalked her until we knew for sure. And then when I knew we were going to be doing an audio show, I called her. And I think that was in November or December. And that's when we started really planning the show. But I think it's one of the highlights of my career right now, just because we are able to reach so many Native households that we didn't have access to before. Native youth are able to grow up with Super Indian, which is that it just makes me want, I'm just bursting with pride. And we've had so many great reviews. And of course, when you get down to the production of it, which I'm sure we'll talk to about a little bit later, you'll find out that we had 16 actors from across 4 different time zones. And that's something Native Voices would not have been able to do in the physical space. Our stage is not big enough for 16 actors. And there's no way we could work with people outside of the Los Angeles area because of budgetary reasons. But now geography was no longer an issue. And so we had 16 actors from 4 different time zones. You count our sound engineer, he was in London, so that's 5 different time zones. And those 16 actors played 95 roles. It's mind-blowing. And they did them so well. I'm just so proud.
Yeah, and just hearing the comedy in it, we're going to hit them with that right after the break. And all 3 episodes are out now. We're going to break here, but Delena, is there a website where people can experience Super Indian?
Oh, absolutely. You go to theautry.org/native voices. And it is a free. This is free. We wanted to have access to everyone, so you can listen to them for free. All you have to do is register. So theautry.org, Native Voices.
Whether it's politics, science, Native culture, or entertainment, the news stories that impact and affect Native communities are what you'll hear right here on Native America Calling. Join us as we bring you the nation's first and only electronic talking circle, Native America Calling, live on Native Voice One, the Native American radio service.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a no-charge, 24/7, confidential and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the Chat Now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This program is supported by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and we are talking about the new adventures of Super Indian today. It's a radio play, and it's about Native superheroes who fight crime on the res and beyond. And all 3 hour-long episodes are out now. So let's go ahead and hear a little bit from this series. This is what you hear when you tune in. And you can get an idea for what you'll hear through the show by what we're about to share with you. This short piece is from the first episode, Where the Crow Case is Underway.
Meanwhile, on the edge of the Leaning Oak Reservation, Agent 49 sits in his unmarked vehicle, communicating with his director at the FBI.
I assure you, Director Morris, there's no conflict of interest being here to apprehend Dr. Crow. Yes, I grew up here. Yes, my wife and son live here. Yes, his name is General Bear. Now I didn't get the name off a cereal box. My dad's name was Major. Our family have all served in the military. Director Morris, is this line of questioning pertinent to the Crow case? Oh, there was an office pool. I see. We'll have Dr. Crow in custody within the hour.
So there you go, a taste of it. On the line with us is Arrogant Star from the Kickapoo Tribe of Oklahoma. She's also Muscogee Creek, and she is the creator of what we're hearing, and she has teamed up with people at Native Voices at the Autry to bring it even more life. And with us today from there is Delina Studi, who is the artistic director, and she is a citizen of the Cherokee Nation. And so, ladies, let's get into what we just heard. Arrogant, start us off. Tell us a little bit about this great adventure.
Well, of course, you nailed it when you said he ate tainted commodity cheese and gained superpowers. But part of the fun of doing Super Indian is being able to talk about issues that we have in our community, good and bad, and also the issues that affect our community. And, you know, Native names, oh my gosh, that's a whole loaded thing. And, you know, just to have a little bit of fun with it, I'm just so excited to, you know, put the stuff out there. These are things that we hear every day in the community and where we're out and about talking to our own kinfolk. So, you know, I love sharing the fun, but also like to bring the outside world into kind of what we're dealing with. So, you know, here's a professional man doing a professional job and still having to answer questions about his name. Ooh, I don't know. Is that funny? I don't know.
Oh, we got issues, and we like to talk about them on this program. And being able to throw it into a comedy circle, because you go deep. I mean, you bring up different things that often, you know, are very serious issues, things like NAGPRA, and you weave it in there to make a point, not to make fun of it, but to make a point and to bring people up to speed with the things that we're dealing with. Appropriation is another one of them. And when you were creating this, Arrogant, and thinking about, okay, this is another platform for us to think about this, how did you do that? How did you map it out? Or did it just come naturally when you were writing dialogue? Tell me a little bit about that part.
Well, you know, being a writer really helps when working in comics, and also being an artist helps me be a better writer because I, you know, when you're doing comics, you have to map it out panel by panel by panel, which essentially is like a storyboard for a film. So I've got my roadmap. I know what my characters look like already. And then to add more depth that I couldn't do in the comics, some of this stuff is pulled straight from the Super Indian Volume 1 and Volume 2, especially the whole story about the Curse of Blood Quantum. That was pulled straight out of the comics, and I added just a little more info, a little more flair, you know, but that was, you know, if you read the comics and listen to the episode, you could pretty much follow along. So it was fun, but it wasn't that hard, for me anyway.
Nice. You know what? You said Blood Quantum. Let's take another take into the world of Super Indian. We are going to hear a little bit here from the three-part series. And so now, more from the adventures of Super Indian. Here is the villain, Blood Quantum, laying out some of his own backstory.
When my beloved Abuelita hinted she was part Indian, it was the final straw. I became estranged with my family. I would not stay with these traitors another second. Destitute, I found a place I could work out my rage. The Bureau of Indian Affairs. When my superior retired, I expected to take his place. What did they do? They hired a Hopi. I loathed my work as much as I loathed the Indians I was hired to serve.
You lost my forms again, you idiot!
Miss Chi, give me another chance.
Pay me what I'm owed.
Paperwork, deadlines, disgruntled Indios!
What our department needs is an adventure. I met a guy at IGAG who does treks to Mexico.
My boss, the Hopi, Mr. Pokemon Emptewa, was unaware of my deep-seated hostility.
Oh, And Aragon, go ahead, decode what we just heard.
Oh my gosh, Enrico Nasi, who plays Blood Quantum, just slays me every time I hear him do that voice. You know, I always think it's interesting, especially like in New Mexico, how the story of the originals, you know, that came with Oñate have their own like side culture, and it's like they were never influenced by the Indians who were already there. Like, what? That's craziness. And so that's kind of where that character came from. And then of course the fun of thinking about a vampire who must become a full-blood Indian by biting other full-blood Indians, and then how he's insidious in our organizations, and he goes to conferences, and I thought, what a hoot. And that's just the kind of stuff that you know, that I drew from, you know, being out in the world, like when I was at different, like, Native conferences and stuff, when I was a performer and also, you know, promoting the comic or doing workshops and that sort of thing. You see how people are. And, you know, it's kind of fun to comment on it and also, you know, just to say, you know, we do these things too. We're out at conferences and we have lives. And and just I just really had a lot of fun with this character. It was so fun to write him and his sidekick, Mr. Pokemon and Chihuahua.
And do we hear you acting in this as well?
Yes, that is me doing Miss Chi, the disgruntled Navajo woman whose forms got lost at the BIA. That never happens, right?
Imagine that, forms getting lost. And I see how your imagination has been let loose. And Delana, getting the right actor for all this, I know, is key into it. And talk to me about pulling in the voices and bringing this together. And we're going to meet some of the actors coming up here in just a moment, but give me more on that.
I have to say, casting the actors was probably my favorite part, just because the audition process was hilarious. We would have them come in. They would try out so many different voices because Aragon has 95 characters. And so it was fun to see them stretch and turn on a dime. Especially like Enrico, the one she was just talking about, who's Blood Quantum. We had him go from Eaton Crow, who's an Australian, to Blood Quantum, which is the accent you just heard, and then back to Eaton Crow again. It was amazing how quickly he was able to change his voice and to adapt. And also, I think for me, period, just listening and watching the actors make those sudden changes and how they, you can't see it because you're listening to it, but their physicality and their body, it's like they turn into a whole new person. And I know for me, as an actor, whenever I would get to play pretend and try on as many characters as I wanted to, that was what acting was about. And so for me, I thought this would be a great opportunity for our actors to really stretch and grow and just have fun. And, you know, when we did Super Indian back in 2007, they were only 5-minute stories. And so to be able to have Aragon flesh out these characters and this community and have people really do a deep dive into who these people are was just amazing. I know we have recorded, perhaps one day we'll release a blooper reel, but we recorded everything via Zoom, but we also recorded the voices through Audacity. So the actors, we did it through Zoom so the actors could see each other and react to each other. And in radio, we have a thing called Walla, which is the background noise. And so we would make them do their Walla, and one time they had to do zombie Walla. And that was probably my favorite thing, is just watching 16 actors do their best zombie Walla. But, you know, it was a big process. We had several people audition. I'm very happy that it was up to Aragon and Olivia, the directors, to choose, because there were so many talented people that came to us. And so it was very hard to pick out the 16 that we chose.
Oh, boy. I can only imagine. And let's meet some of them. We now go to Los Angeles, California. Colon Studi is on the line with us out of Los Angeles. He is an actor, and he plays Hubert Logan, a.k.a. Super Indian, in The New Adventures of Super Indian. He is an enrolled member of the Cherokee Nation. Colon, thank you for being with us. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Oh, thank you, OCO, and I am so honored to be here today. To get to talk about this just truly wonderful project that is The Adventures of Super Indian.
And being Super Indian, oh my goodness, I mean, what an honor, but also what a weight to carry a lot of what is going on in this adventure. And, you know, there's so much going on. Tell me a little bit about that, of just really getting your head around this role.
Oh, boy, you're telling me about the weight. It was just truly like, I'll never forget when I got the text telling me that I was going to get to play Super Indian. I was at work in the middle of like counting mustaches, which is a totally different story. And I literally just started jumping for joy and excitement and just started hooting and hollering around. And, you know, because I knew immediately that this is it's a big deal. Like, there are already so few Native American superheroes out there, and almost none of them truly have their own comics. And like, almost none of them are also written by, you know, a Native American writer. So for Aragon to trust me with, you know, a character that is so near and dear to her heart was just, oh, it's just pure elation. Like, I'm so happy and so honored to be a part of this project and get to bring life to a character that I, you know, feel connected to, because Hubert Logan, while being Super Indian, is also still like a very insecure teen, which I think is, you know, another thing that Native Americans aren't often portrayed as, especially in youth, like, because it's always usually like the angry, stoic, young, brave, or something like that, instead of just being like, oh, hey, we also have nerdy folk, and we love them just as much. So it was just truly, truly incredible to get to bring life to this character, and it definitely weighed on me every day, but the process was just so much fun and so natural that it kind of took the weight off for a minute. And then once rehearsal was over, it would hit me again. I'd be like, oh no, I'm representing everybody here. So, you know, just general panic, I guess is what I'm saying.
And tell me about some of your favorite moments, or where, you know, the words on the page really became you, or those words on the page propelled you to do something that you didn't even expect, anything like that.
Ooh, let's see. Well, one of my favorite things, I have to say, was getting to just like sit and listen to everyone else record their bits, because we have so many just talented actors in this, and their voices are just incredible. And I laughed most of the time. But for me, I shouldn't say most of the time, like I wasn't laughing other times. But I think one of the moments that really I connected to, and I think it's a moment that comes up in episode 3, which is out since yesterday, is this moment where, you know, Hubert Logan is dealing with the feeling of he's still him, you know, even with the superpowers, even with like his new muscular bod, he's still like not unliked, but he's still very much like the outcast, the black sheep in the scenario on the res. And, you know, that's something that like I definitely identify with. And I also identify with the insecurity that things, you know, things like social media bring, of, you know, I don't have so many followers, or I don't have the presence that I want, or why don't people like me, which is, you know, a very shocker, a very human thing to feel. And it's nice to just have an indigenous superhero go through that. So that was one of the things that really, like, I connected to and kind of got lost in that part. And truly, like, it was just my favorite part was, like, listening to everyone else and getting to work with everyone else, because, you know, it was just such a strong, positive energy that we all got to, like, come in, talk about issues that we frequently face as indigenous people, and get to laugh through it, because that's really, I think, the only way that we as a people like have been able to survive. Obviously, there's so much more to it than that, but one of the things is humor, because if you can't process it, you know, the terrible things that have happened to us and that have been done to us in a healthy way, you know, it becomes painful. But if we can find a way to laugh through these things, even if they are like super, you know, serious subject matter, like blood quantum and appropriation, these things that really affect us on a grand scale, but if we can laugh through them, it's also the easiest way to teach people, I think. And that's truly what I enjoyed most about this project, and just you know, it was nothing short of incredible. I know I'm hyping it up so high, but like, that's just how I feel.
Right on, right on. And it also caused people to get creative with how they were delivering their sound. And it's something that I think we can relate to, especially in the radio world, of things we've had to do to, you know, shape and remold things. And even building forts in the middle of our houses so that the great audio sound was happening. I do want to hear more about that, of how you pull it all off. And something, Colon, that really struck me with your character was that you had a lot of patience. And it's interesting because a lot of time our superheroes are there to take action and do. And in this particular series, I think one of your other superpowers is the patience that you have with all of the characters that are coming into your life. And you know, just it's interesting how the story does unfold when you add that element.
Support by Amerind, Indian Country's 100% tribally owned insurance partner. Amerind works with tribal governments and their business enterprises to provide effective commercial insurance coverage, strengthen Native American communities, protect tribal sovereignty, and help keep dollars in Indian Country. More information on property, liability, workers' compensation, and commercial auto solutions at Amerind.com. That's Amerind.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we're putting the spotlight on Super Indian today. He's having new adventures these days, and there is a new three-part podcast in the style of radio play. It's now available. And before the break, we brought in Super Indian himself, a.k.a. Hubert Logan, a.k.a. Colon Studi. And Colon, I go back to you and just reflections on, you know, what it means to be acting in this form, especially the times that we are currently in.
Yeah, it was actually a very fun process in the fact that we got to build our own blanket forts as adults, which, you know, doesn't come up as often if you don't have kids. So the process was crazy because, you know, you're having to think about all of these things, right? Like dampening sound, like making sure everything comes crystal clear, making sure that you have, you know, a quiet room and able to do these things. And it was such a fun learning curve, honestly. It was just like this fun process to get to be a part of while still in the middle of a pandemic. So it was just, at the time, like the highlight of what I was doing for sure. And it was fun to get to learn so much about like this medium of like voiceover work and things like that. Because personally, a lot of my acting heroes are voiceover artists, because I think there's something so powerful in cartoons and audio mediums that when you just hear something or hear something in a person's voice can really, you know, it can strike you in a very different way. And you're like, oh, I didn't know that this could happen when I'm just sitting in my home doing dishes. What just happened? Oh, now I'm crying. But it was just such a fun process to be a part of. And
yeah, I think you're going to remember this for the rest of your life. And interesting, very interesting. And you know what? I got a caller on the line who would like to join us too. We're going to say hi to Jamie, who is in on the line, giving us a ring. I think it is Janie. I might be saying that wrong. Janine, That's how you say it. Janine, welcome to Native America Calling. Go ahead, your thoughts.
Hey, how are you? Good to be here. Thank you for having us on. This is a real treat.
Isn't
this
it?
This has been just such a pleasant and wonderful experience working on this program, The Adventures of Super Indian. Oh my goodness, Aragon Star, what an amazing creator, writer, artist, you name it. Such an honor to work with her and all of the cast. It was so much fun. And what a treat for all of us to be doing this, you know, from our homes and working with each other, still able to work with each other.
Yeah, a lot of great things happen. And Janine, what role did you play?
Actually, I played 6 roles. I played Carrie Logan, Super Indian's mother. I played Dr. Erlene Kernell, who actually created the resium-tainted cheese that Super Indian accidentally ate and became Super Indian. I played Grandmother Snowball. I played the wife of Chief Yellowshirt, Willadine Yellowshirt. I played the character Looks Back. And gosh, who am I missing? it was just fantastic, absolutely fantastic. What such artists. We had so many great talents to work with, and we had so much fun making each other laugh, especially during these times. And it's great that we all got to create something, you know, a superhero for Native America. Fantastic. You know, I've been receiving messages from a lot of people who have children, you know, Native people who have children who have been contacting, and they're so excited that there's a superhero character and that they can listen to it like radio drama, like stories on the radio. And it's fantastic.
And, you know, I also wonder how much, you know, this is an invitation to our elders, too, who grew up with some of this. Janine, thank you for dialing in. And I know a lot of excitement is definitely building up around this. And I just got an email from the general manager of Res Radio 91.3 from the Paula Band of Mission Indians, John Fox, sharing his excitement. And talking about his appreciation for the return of Super Indian. His comment, I've heard the first new episode of Hubert and the Gang on the Autry Link, and new podcasts are like reconnecting with old friends. Aragon, you still got it. So I'm hearing it, and it's coming out, how people are connecting to this. And also here, too, out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, is Ernest Briggs. He is a voiceover performer who played General Bear in The New Adventures of Super Indian. He is an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation. Ernest, my pleasure to have you here. Welcome to Native America Calling.
Bonjour, Anine, and thank you for having me. This is truly an honor.
Bonjour. And Ernest, you've heard a little bit of, you know, where we have taken things. Is there anything you want to share about being involved in Super Indian?
Certainly. I've told this story quite a few times, but I'm a huge comic book nerd, you know, you know, along with being an actor and a performer, I'm just a huge comic book nerd. I grew up, you know, going to local gas stations and local comic book shops. And, you know, like everybody else has said, I never really saw myself represented in a lot of those comic books growing up, which is probably why at certain points in my life, I've sort of put them away, but I always sort of come back to them because the medium sort of is something that I really like. I actually met Aragon in my first professional theater show that I ever did here in Minneapolis at Mixed Blood Theater in 2008, 2009, I believe it was. She was actually drawing, I believe, a cover or one of the first few pages of Super Indian for the graphic novel that she was doing. And I remember seeing it and just saying to her, I said, that looks like a comic book. And she was like, oh, yeah, this is a comic that I'm doing. It's called Super Indian. And the more she told me about it, the more I got excited about it. And I was like, well, when it gets done, you know, I would love to pick up a copy and everything. It's interesting. I just went to my local comic book shop in the last few weeks and I told them about it, and they literally said they were going to start ordering it and carrying it in their comic book shop, which I was really happy about. So when this came along and they were holding auditions, went out and auditioned, you know, like everybody else said, you know, luckily I've always tried out a couple of different voices. You know, I just stay at home and do a bunch of impressions because it's always fun to do that for actors. And then that's exactly what the process was like. And I think most actors try to protect themselves a little bit. You know, if you don't get the part, you're like, oh, well, there's other things in the world. But I will be very honest with you. I was totally excited about the prospect of getting this and working on this project because it's one of the coolest things that I've ever been associated with. And hands down, it was a blast to work on. I know with, you know, the quarantine, we were working, you know, via Zoom the entire time, but it was a blast. You wouldn't know that we weren't all in one place. It felt like we were all in one place, actually, while we were doing it, which was really great. It was a total blast. I hope we can do like 100 more stories, you know, to rival any sort of other, like, any other type of show. I'm also old enough that I remember it being like, I remember watching Saturday morning cartoons, and doing this kind of feels like doing like a Saturday morning cartoon radio show, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Back when cartoons actually ended, they weren't on 24 hours of the day. And so, Ernest, what kind of trouble does General Bear get into? What kind of trouble does General Bear get us out of in The Adventures of Super Indian?
You know, General Bear, who's Hubert Logan / Super Indian's friend, and Mega Bear, of course, which is his alter ego, you know, he gets into trouble just about every week. and it's usually the same trouble that Super Indian gets into. I mean, you know, there's the issues that they have with Blood Quantum in the second episode. There's the issues they have in the first episode with their origin, where they actually sort of become the heroes that they're going to become. And there's the issues with the War Bonnet, definitely, in the third episode. So there's a lot. There's definitely a lot of there that actually he gets in of and out of throughout the course. Well, I think he's very funny too, which is one of the reasons why I love General Bear. He's just a very funny character, and he reminds me of a lot of people that I grew up with too. So, which is why a very well-written character as well. So I highly recommend everybody listen to all three episodes. You can listen to them for free, and it's amazing.
And so just knowing that, you know, it takes a crew to do something like this and seeing, you know, what the end result was, where do you hope it reaches, Ernest?
You know, I'm glad you said that about, like, the type of crew that it takes. I mean, I kept saying to people while we were doing this, just because we were using Zoom and everything like that, to get people from all across the country, and I believe it was four or five time zones, you know, to just put this together and then edit it and then get it into, you know, put it all together in general with everybody. You know, I really just hope after all of that, because that's I really applaud all the people that did the work on the production side, and as well as all of the other performers and the writer and director and everybody. But I really hope it could be listened by everybody. I mean, that's one of the things I've been doing up here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, is just trying to get everybody to listen to it as much as they can. I want it to go globally, and hopefully everybody gets a chance to listen to it. So I've been actually sharing it with friends that I know that are working in other parts of the world too, and they've actually been telling me that they really enjoy it as well.
Well, it's interesting, everything is, you know, woven into this. And the humor is a big part. Ernest, were there any moments where you just cracked up of, we just pulled that off, we just talked about blank in this way? Were there any moments like that?
There are. There's one that I hesitate just to say, just because it's a really funny joke. There is the name of a song when the radio DJ speaks. I believe it's in episode 2. And I just hesitate to say the joke. I'll let you know that the first part of the joke is crying powwow tears. But the punchline to that joke is easily one of my favorite punchlines, for a song I've ever heard. And then there was a weird bit that I was actually listening that I didn't remember that I did. This is just me personally. There was a bit that I did where General Bear runs, and I remember I ad-libbed when we were doing it, and they used that take, which I was really happy, where I say, oh, why is it so far away? Because the character was running, and I just remember adding that really quickly. It was a lot of fun.
What about staying in character even after the production was done? General Bear takes out the trash. General Bear folds the laundry. Any moments like that where... where you started seeing this character in real life or acting things out. And Colon, I want your answer to that too, but go ahead, Ernest.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely spend a lot of my time just like really trying stuff, different stuff out. I also voiced a few other characters. So I would find myself through the course of a day, just like, if I'm going to say this, I'm going to try and say this as this character. I'm going to say it as Wallace Ward or Lucas or the Silversmith. But then I would go, I should probably try and say this as General Bear, you know? And then I would do stuff like that. And it would just help me stay in character to be a lot of fun. Or I would always think to myself, like, you know, how would General Bear do this? Like you said, like, how would he do his laundry? How would he drive his car if he was driving, which he does do in one of the episodes, actually, you know, and how does he talk about things around him like a historian sometimes? So, yeah.
And Colon, anything to add?
Yeah, the only thing that I could add is I recently picked up kickboxing as a physical activity to do things. So while I was doing Super Indian, I was like weirdly training for a part that nobody would actually see me in. But as far as the character was concerned, it was actually kind of nice because, you know, Hubert is very much a part of me, just in like the nerdy, just wanting to do right by everybody kind of guy. So for me, it was just kind of like getting to walk into the booth and do my thing, and then get to bring the superhero element of it, because who doesn't want to, you know, pretend to be a superhero for like 10 minutes a day? I think everyone should do that. Just pretend you're a superhero for 10 minutes a day. Doesn't matter what you're doing. Like you said, you could be taking out the garbage. You could be, you know, driving your kids to school. That's a heroic deed. but yeah, for me, it was just, I guess I kind of lucked out because I read it and I was like, oh, me and Hubert kind of get the same things.
but you got to make sure you put on the cape and then see how the world changes too. Lots of fun, and we got to start wrapping things up here. And Aragon Star, we got about a minute. Anything you want to leave us with?
I am so thrilled that you had us on today and that we're still talking about this show and that people can still listen to the show online and join us with this craziness. And definitely the Colon and Ernest, you guys knocked it out of the park. And I probably don't tell you guys this enough. Delana, you knocked it out of the park, because everyone came together because everybody needs the laughter. And I'm so excited that this project could provide that for people.
And I know that's a big compliment, knowing how big of a baseball fan you are, Aragon. That's just not a saying. You really mean it when you say hit it out of the park. And definitely we want to give folks that connection of where they can continue the adventures or even connect with the comic itself. And Aragon, go ahead and give us those details.
Yes, go to the autry.org, Native Voices. You can still listen online. It's free. Just register. I'd love to talk to more of you all about this and how it affected you. And maybe we'll do some more. You never know.
All right. Well, we can't wait. And there's more ahead with all of this, too, by listening to some of these episodes. And if you get a chance to, I want to hear your take on it. Give us a review. We want to hear from you. You can always send us an email to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And thank you to everybody that we heard from in this program. Aragon Star, Delana Studi, Colon Studi, and Ernest Briggs. Thank you all for being with us. And we appreciate you being here with us today. And we'll find you here tomorrow. I'm Tara Gatewood. Thanks again. And you can find more information about us at nativeamericacalling.com. Thank you.
Support by Western Governors University, an online university for working adults and underserved populations. At WGU, students apply what they already know, learn at their own pace, and graduate sooner with little or no debt. With bachelor's and master's degree programs in four fields, business, IT, teaching, and health professions, including nursing. Information and application at wgu.edu/degrees.
Utokalirni, healthcare coverage maker Yominarasi. Kohula Yuminarsi, local Indian healthcare provider. Karsakangwafsi Tulu, healthcare.gov, Nakakilalu, Kohula Lui, 1-800-318-2596. Unakailuni, Sentamin, Medicare and Medicaid Service Kunin.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.